Well, the public comment period for the first phase of the Mountain Accord is open through May 1st. Then a study phase will ensue, again with a lot of public comment solicited. Joining me now in the studio to talk through some of the issues within the Mountain Accord is Andy Bierman. He's a Park City Council member, but he's also on the board of, or the executive committee, executive board of the Mountain Accord. And good morning to you, Andy.
Good morning, Lynn. Beautiful day out there.
It is so far. Yeah.
So far, so good.
Except for that haze from Siberia, of course. Okay, first of all, there has been a lot of public comment, and the Mountain Accord is soliciting that comment through public meetings and also online. Now, I haven't, of course, seen anything online, but I have been at a lot of meetings where I've heard public comment. And, you know, one big topic coming up over and over and over, and it's the fear about this tunnel proposal, which is one of the proposals within the Mountain Accord. People are scared from an environmental standpoint, and, you know, what they're asking and what I'm asking is, can the 30 stakeholders at the table of the Mountain Accord just scrap that tunnel proposal before the next phase gets started?
Yeah, that would be an option at this point. We are we're interested in hearing from the public. We put the blueprint out there, which was really a spectrum of options to be considered. Certainly tunnel and trains was at the high end of one of the options, and it has been controversial. I wouldn't say it's the only controversial issue, but it's certainly the one we've heard the most about on the Wasatch back. On the Wasatch front, there's a lot of concern over One Wasatch and Grizzly Gulch, and also if there were rail, how that would impact the mouth of the canyons and impact the canyons environmentally. So the short answer is, if the executive board chose, that could be taken off the table as a spectrum of options.
Okay, so what would happen if it were taken off?
Well, the challenge as we start taking options off is as it stood, Guardsman Road is under increased pressure to be winterized, widened, and open for regular use, which we believe will promote rapid growth on Bonanza Flats, as well as force additional vehicular traffic down Marsac and through Old Town, which most of us would like to not see. We don't feel like we have the capacity or ability to open that corridor, so we were looking for alternatives. And UDOT has put this on hold pending alternatives from the Mountain Accord. And on the Wasatch front, they aren't interested in aerial connections, which is something I've heard viewed favorably on this side. On our side, we're concerned about rail connections, which if we pull away too many options out of that spectrum, we're right back where we started, which is opening that road to cars. So we're still trying to sort all that out and see what options are out there.
Okay, so one of the things they've been saying over the last week, I've heard from Roger Armstrong, Summit County Council member, and Liza Simpson, is the Mountain Accord cannot be done to us. But is that road connection that UDOT studied years ago over Guardsman Pass, is that something that could be done to us if the Mountain Accord took all those other proposals out?
Absolutely. UDOT's job is to make sure that our roads are running efficiently. And if we exceed capacity or there's a demand in a place, they will add a road or widen a road. That being said, they're usually very good about involving the community, and they've been good thus far with Guardsman Pass. But if political pressures grew, they could very much do that to us. As far as the Mountain Accord goes, it's a regional planning effort that we've all agreed to get together and come up with solutions that we can build consensus on, and there is not the ability for the Mountain Accord to do something to us.
Okay. So at public comment meetings, or at meetings during public comment, I've heard local residents like former Park City Mayor Dana Williams and also local resident Clay Stewart and maybe others ask that elected officials take a stand against the tunnel proposal.
Yep.
Can you do that? Or would you do that at this point?
Today or after we finish the public process? I'm surprised to hear from some of these folks that they would like us to prematurely take a stand and start removing options from the table, because right now we are in the thick of a public process. We're out there taking input, and there has been input on both sides of the equation. We've heard a lot of positive input on the Mountain Accord, and we've heard some negative input as well. We're going to continue to gather that. We're going to get together, analyze it, and then we'll consider taking options off the table. But right now it would be premature and even irresponsible to start changing mid-process.
Okay. So is that then to say that if you go through the whole process, you maintain the veto power, which you wouldn't if you just took it off the board right now?
Yeah, I mean, I've never been terribly concerned about us having veto power because this is a consensus process, and it's just recommendations that are coming out of that. We aren't ceding our land use authority to the Mountain Accord. So if Park City or Summit County decides they're opposed to something, we can refuse to participate on that, and it isn't necessarily going to get done to us. We've had further reassurances. There was a lot of concern about this, and Summit County and Park City went to the management team of the Mountain Accord, which is select members of the executive board, and every one of them reassured us in a meeting that we will ultimately maintain our veto power over this. At the end of the day, the feds or the state could do this to us, whether we're at the table or not, but we don't expect that to happen. That would be fairly outrageous for something like that to happen.
All of this public comment, it's kind of reminiscent of something that happened, I think it was about 2 years ago, and it had to do with trying to find solutions for water. It was a bunch of stakeholders at the table. And remember the Round Valley Reservoir proposal? It is reminiscent of that.
Yeah, there are a lot of similarities here. And because Weber Basin was interested in putting a reservoir in, there was some opposition to the water deal. People didn't want Park City to participate, and some folks said, we'd like you to step away from the table because we don't want to be forced to do this. Park City stayed at the table during those discussions, and we were able to work veto power into that deal. So if we were to ever consider or the issue of a reservoir came up again, Park City has full control over whether that happens or not.
Okay. So another question we're hearing a lot is, what's in it for Park City and Summit County in the Mountain Accord?
Yeah. I'll tell you the part I'm the most excited about is massive land preservation right along the ridge and the other side of the Wasatch. We're looking at creating a new sort of holding container for the Wasatch, which could be something on one end, maybe a national monument or a national conservation area, national rec area with new wilderness within it. We're talking about additional trail connections on that side that might, say, a mid-mountain trail from here all the way over to Snowbird, which I think our residents would enjoy, as well as completing trail connections on our side, going out Lambs Canyon, down High Ute are in the proposal, as well as the Millennial Trail, which has been on the table for years. We're looking at completing that, which would go from Park City all the way to Salt Lake as a bike path. And we have opportunities to access all kinds of expertise and funding for some of our transportation challenges here on I-80, 224, and 248 that we've never had access to. And that's probably going to begin with conversations we're having right now with the Mountain Accord, which is establishing right-of-ways on 224 and 248, which in the short term might be used for just express bus, but someday those could be rail, monorail, or some other mode. But it's critical we acquire those now and are able to use those as to solve some of our transportation challenges.
Okay, I think people are also concerned about this, you know, compromise that has to happen because it is consensus and it is an accord. But if all those things that you just talked about that, you know, would be good for Summit County, if something that quote unquote more powerful interests didn't get, like a tunnel connection, could those things go away then that are good for Summit County? Just wondering about the give and take.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of, there's accusations of powerful interest driving this one way or another. But from my perspective, this has been driven by local government. And we all bring our different needs to the table. And it's been an education process. Those of us from the Wasatch Back have learned a lot about the unique challenges along the front and their citizens' concerns with the canyons. And they've learned a ton about what we're trying to accomplish back here. A lot of the folks on the executive board had no idea we had traffic issues on 224. I don't feel like there's going to be the ability for a powerful interest to come in and alter the process per se. I think if we pull out of the process, as some people have suggested, then we lose opportunities for this funding and expertise I had talked about before, and we lose the ability to help shape the process, which I think both those of us that have been involved on a political level and our public have had a positive influence, and they've really pushed this towards more of a preservation project, which I've been excited to see.
And is that preservation project, you know, equally as powerful, I guess, as you see people who are more interested in growth being?
Well, I think it's become very clear to those of us through the process that that's what the public wants to see. We started out the very first line of the Mountain Accord Charter is to preserve the legacy of the Wasatch, which is not very different than Park City's "Let's keep Park City" battle cry. And we said we wanted to keep it intact, and all the things we're talking about, the land preservation, the transportation, the recreation opportunities, those are all tools to help do that. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, the public has given a strong reinforcement that preservation needs to take precedent over economic needs, any development, and we have to be very careful with the means of transportation or the modes of transportation we put in there, because there's a lot of concerns. So I believe that's winning out, and that's largely where things are going. And just to give you an example, we're only at the beginning of this process in terms of we're sort of scoping out what we want to study. If we decide to move forward with the next phase, which we would probably make that choice around July, the executive board would get together and decide, do we want to continue to pursue some of these things? We will likely go into a NEPA process. It's part of the National Environmental Protection Act. And that requires us to consider environmental impacts of what we do. And we need to do this because it involves Forest Service property as well as federal funding. Mm-hmm. And the NEPA process is an 18-month or longer public process where they actually look at the science of all these things, they examine how they'll impact this, and they take extensive public input. So we're really at the beginning of this process.
Okay, one quick question before I let you go. You know, I think there's also concern that if you study something, if you put it through the NEPA process, then it's going to happen, i.e. this tunnel proposal.
Yeah.
I guess it could go either way, right? I mean, if it's not a good proposal, would that come out in the NEPA process?
I think tunnels and trains have been something we've been talking about for 25 years or longer in the Wasatch. In fact, if you go back 60 or 70 years, I believe there was a train up Little Cottonwood. And so one of the arguments for studying it could be that it will put the issue to bed, because if we don't study it, it will probably continue to come up if we don't come up with other solutions. But as far as the way we're going to approach this NEPA process, there's been a big push to do a no preferred alternative. Generally, you put a choice out there that you would like to study, and then you would put alternatives on the table, and then a do nothing alternative, and those are all looked at side by side. But the assumption is it's working towards that preferred choice you lay out there. What we've asked for, and we're working with the federal agencies, is to be able to put forward all the options on equal footing and allow the science and the public input to determine which one is going to get the recommendation.
Okay, and that NEPA process will take about 18 months, is that right?
If we expedite it, which has been the goal.
Okay, and then that would start, what, in June? And then
that would start sometime this summer, about 18 months. And then once we complete the NEPA process, the Mountain Accord would have to get its board back together. We would review the options, see if we want to move forward. And then if we choose to move forward, it would still need to go back to each town, county, or various jurisdiction, and they would go through their own public process to determine what parts they want to participate in. So we're a couple of years away from anything firm happening, other than some demonstration projects. I think we're going to work on putting in some trails immediately, some new trailheads. We're forming an environmental scorecard, which is going to create some baselines and monitoring for the Wasatch, which we're very excited about. And I think you're going to see some shuttle programs tested in Mill Creek, and potentially some new bus service or enhanced bus service to see if there are less expensive options that might work.
Okay, great. Andy, thanks for the update.
Thanks, Lynn.
That's Andy Bierman, City Council member, and also on the executive board of the Mountain Accord.